gentlemen, welcome to series 12.
Oh,
the big one too.
Golly,
isn't it?
And so much has changed.
Between 11 and 12.
Yeah.
Well, Mike's now working with a cinematographer.
My video looks extraordinary today, doesn't it?
It's amazing.
Yes, to explain to the listener, Mike's got a kind of J.J. Abrams-style lens flare on his picture.
It looks like a sort of high-end sort of like ginormous lizard could easily like barge through the wall behind him at any point. Sort of seize him in its jaws, isn't it?
You think I'd be an early kill in the J.J. Abrams movie?
I think you
movie?
Could be an early kill.
Oh, it's a shame. Just sort of sheriff's deputy or something like that.
Sheriff's deputy.
Mm-hmm. Alarmed angler?
Alarmed angler?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd be swallowed up by a huge kraken.
Yeah.
That he's caught with a fly.
Yeah, because everyone wants to see that scene at the beginning of the J.J. Abrams film when that line goes taut, don't they?
Yeah, oh yeah, they want to see that.
Well, he's got a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a big one.
I got a kraken by the arse. They don't do it. Normally comes out mouth first, but it'd be quite nice to see that kraken come out arse first.
By its arse, yeah.
Be a variation on a theme.
And then it's really furious.
Then it's really, really, really angry.
Because that hook's not coming out easily.
No.
They're barbed.
Because you're just a leisure angler, aren't you? So your plan is to actually put the kraken back.
Oh, ideally, yeah.
But try and explain that to a kraken.
Yeah, you just pause while my mate takes a photo. Otherwise, no one's going to believe me on the end of the jetty.
Obviously, for your niece, you wouldn't want to like club a kraken to death in front of your niece, who's with you for the day.
She's
would
got
you?
To learn, though, hasn't she?
She does have to learn.
There's the rub.
Had to protect herself. And are you licensed to be fishing there for kraken?
Ooh, well, there we go. Again, I mean, this is could well be an off-season kraken.
And actually, it's very sad because often when in the kraken nets, when people fish for those krakens in nets, they'll often actually end up sweeping up a lot of giant squids, megalodons.
They just end up discarding. Very wasteful process.
Jason Statham stunt doubles. A lot of them get, don't they?
There's tons of them at the bottom of the Mississippi, aren't there, at the moment?
Well, most sand is like 0.4%.
Eroded Statham body doubles.
They say,
That's true, isn't it?
I've got some big news, chaps.
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
It's about our old friend, the Hyundai i10.
Ooh.
She lives!
No!
What?
She's back.
No way.
I've lovingly restored her to her previous condition, which was not good.
As part of a 12-part Channel 4 mega series. Where you and Paul Bettany lovingly restore a Hyundai i10.
And receive a visit from King Charles in the final episode.
That's going to be massive.
As you know, it was just sat on the road.
Yeah.
You were using it as an outside toilet, just for people that haven't been keeping up.
Well, yeah, that was a joke that we made. A fanciful joke that I was shitting in my old i10. But I just want to make it clear that wasn't true. It's just been sitting there. And I was just looking at it and I thought, no, I am going to pay lots of money to get this fixed for no reason.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Yeah.
But seriously? I mean, so you flushed it, first of all, presumably.
You're giving it a power clean.
And then take it to the Hyundai necromancer.
isn't there a kind of character like Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction that you can get in to just like totally clean up a Hyundai? Yeah, you want to talk to Hyundaiian.
It's sort of 7 months worth of turds.
He'll come and he'll sort it out. Don't ask too many questions, though.
Don't ask him where he's going to put those turds.
Don't ask him where he's going to put those turds. And don't ask him where he gets those cleaning products, because a lot of them look like they're Chinese military. maybe the local community centre's suddenly got a turd encrusted ceiling.
40 kilos of turds.
It's got 40 kilos.
That they don't know what to do with.
It's got turd bunting hanging up, totally ruining their weekly quiz.
Tunting. I'm just thinking about, so statistically, a certain number of people will listen to this as their first episode of Three Bean Salad.
I know, that's always the worry, isn't it?
And that is always the worry, because, you know, they're all at sea now. They've got no idea where my Hyundai 10 is full of turds.
Well, we should send them politely back to the first episode. I think that is what we should do. I think actually every series you should really recap from Ep 1 in the interim to fully, do you know what I mean? In the same way that I've read the book Dune twice.
Have you?
Yeah.
Such a good book. I never got to the end of that.
I've got quite excited about seeing Dune 2 in the cinema.
Me too. I can't wait to see
it. Well, the promo's everywhere, isn't it? We're recording this towards the end of February. It's everywhere. Zendaya was out with a... Did you see? Had an amazing sort of like robot costume with arse windows. It's extraordinary.
By the way, this is our new section. It's the red carpet frock watch. You know, Zendaya looked absolutely fabulous. It was a sort of robo suit, wasn't it? It was kind of futuristic. It was like sort of the gods of sci-fi. It was kind of a mixture between robots and sort of robotic and sort of Greek gods.
I felt like she upstaged Chalamet a bit.
Oh, she upstaged everyone, didn't she? I mean, anyone who thought, I'm gonna turn a few heads tonight. Oh, trees, mate. Yeah. It's all about the robot.
Yeah, because Chalamet was wearing some kind of stupid silver trousers, wasn't he?
Was he wearing silver trousers?
Yeah, so he was like halfway to robot, and then she went, no.
She committed properly.
Yeah. And he looked like a proper plum.
Chalamet, no, come on. He can pull off anything, can't he?
A beautiful plum. A chiseled plum.
Perfectly right.
Sugar plum.
Chalamet. Sleek, glossy hair. Supple, yet firm musculature. Take me to the Louvre. Slender biceps. Pure thoroughbred. Chalamet. Equine tail.
Shins of alabaster.
Top end monogrammed luggage.
And the neck strength of a hyena.
Chalamet. He's a luxury prince.
A sugar plum that rotates as part of an ornate old Victorian box, and it rotates and sings the most beautiful music you've ever heard.
Keening for those lost in the Boer War.
What were you talking about, Ben?
The Hyundai's fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, the Hyundai's fixed.
I found a man who was willing to do it for some reason, much cheaper than anyone else.
Ben, you're such an old romantic, aren't you? There's no logic behind this decision. It's purely irrational. It's just because you're an absolute old sentimental, aren't you?
Well, it's true.
You're a big softy. You're a big, big softy.
I don't really need it. Because it had been replaced by the Saab 9-3, which now has its own little quirk, which is that you can't use the electric windows if the lights are on. if any mechanics know why that could possibly be the case.
Is there a genuine sort of electric limit? If you turn on the radio, do the lights go off as well? You can only indicate.
Oh, no, we've been indicating manually for a while now, yeah.
So it's lights or air. So if, for example, if someone guffs in the back seat, to clear that out, you might have to put all the passengers at risk.
You've just got to ban night guffs, haven't you, in that situation?
You've got to completely ban night guffs. That's not romantic, is it, when you tell someone, oh, do you want to come for a ride in my Saab? But no.
No night guffs, though, sorry.
But no night guffs. I mean, it's not going to get you a lot of dates.
Darling, I want to guff with you under the stars. Not tonight.
Well, okay, if you're going to complain about it, then not be romantic. Why don't you do it in your own Saab? Well, you haven't got a Saab, have you? So we're back where we started. Do you want to get in the Saab or not?
If you insist on guffing at night, then I do have some special bags. I can pass you, just reach in the glove box, there's special bags, guff bags. Guff into the bag, please.
Swedish guff bags.
They're full of cat litter, I think.
How wonderful. Have you been on a road trip then?
Well, no, I've just been driving around and just finding out those little quirks, you know, that make a car so lovable, where you can't use the electric windows because the headlights are on, and full beam sometimes doesn't come on. That's good.
Well, full beam is mainly something that you forget is on, and you have to panic. You know, you sort of turn it off.
You wonder why everyone's saying hello to you from the other side of the road for 4 hours,
and why every lorry you go past has then shortly crashed into the side of the road as you've gone past it.
Yeah, but anyway, don't get me on full beam, or actually do. Right, let's talk about full beam. Guys,
I think Full Beam's a good name for a podcast.
Full Beam with Henry Packer.
Yeah. Well, the BBC shines a bit of a light on something. The mainstream media has a candle.
Okay.
I've got Full Beam. Let's find out the actual truth. Yeah. You know the actor who plays Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. Jason Statham, yeah.
Jason Statham, has been playing Kenneth Branagh. You know, I've got certain actors, right, who I always struggle to remember their names. Kenneth Branagh is actually one of them. But I've come up with a mnemonic recently.
Oh, yeah. To remember all actors' names. That sounds like a spectacular waste of time. In the information age.
This is what I've been doing in the break. I've come up with a mnemonic, right? For, there are certain actors, and I always forget their names, and guess what? I don't anymore. And I've only got, well, there's two so far that I've worked into this.
Hi, I'm Henry Packer, and you too
can be on full beam like me.
for just $79.99 a month. You can remember some actors' names that you previously struggled to remember.
Yeah. Sure, maybe you're happy going around with dipped headlights, remembering some actors every now and then. Or maybe you got your fog lights on. You remember all the actors of all time. It's too much. Well, why not go with the Henry Packer package? That's right, full beam. Remember the actors when you want, if you want, how you want.
Why you want.
Why you want. And for only $79.99 per month, you also get my protein powder.
Made of ground up beaks. Harness the power of beaks. Never seen an unfit bird, do you?
Tired of all the bloody legal loopholes you have to get around to find grind your own beaks at home? It's not worth it. You have to inform the council, you have to inform Chris Packham, you have to inform the estate of Bilodi.
Who's very much alive.
And Bilodi. It's not worth it. Whereas I've got an offshore beak manufacturing plant. Oh, yes, I've got a good mnemonic, right? So, there's two actors I used to always forget. And I'm just thinking I might have to add Kenneth Branagh to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's one I sometimes forget as well. I'm going to prove to you how well this mnemonic works.
Yeah.
Hugh Bonneville. Gene Hackman.
And Kenneth Branagh.
And Kenneth Branagh. Look at that.
Hang on, so is the mnemonic just their names?
I used to always forget the name of Hugh Bonneville.
I used to always forget the name of Hugh Bonneville. But then I learned the mnemonic saying the words Hugh Bonneville. And now I can remember Hugh Bonneville.
That was before I discovered beak powder.
But shouldn't it be like, to remember Hugh Bonneville, Gene Hackman, it should be like, Henry buys good hay.
Oh, that's quite good. Henry buys good hay. Hugh Bonneville, Gene Hackman. And mine is a visual one. Because visuals is the best way to remember things, if you can tie a visual thing to it.
Okay.
Smell, apparently, is the best. But I didn't know what Hugh Bonneville smells like.
Pete
Townsend. Smells exactly the same as Pete Townsend.
Who, in turn, smells of underripe mangoes.
The way I remember Hugh Bonneville is, I picture him, because I can picture his face.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Then you picture his name.
No.
He's wearing a name badge?
I picture him...
He's got a lanyard.
I picture him nibbling away on a large, dark chocolate bar.
A Bourneville.
A Bourneville chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Hugh Bourneville. I know he's not called Hugh Bourneville, but by that point, it's a small leap to Bonneville.
You've got no problem with the Hugh bit?
For some reason, the Hugh... I think once I've got Bourneville, Bonneville, I'm there, Hugh Bonneville.
Okay.
Now, pan down the chocolate a bit further down.
Mm-hmm. Someone's eating the chocolate from the other end of the bar. It's Gene Hackman on his knees, eating the other end of the chocolate, trying to race up the chocolate bar.
Someone is hacking the chocolate.
Oh, is he?
Down the other end. Hacking away at it with a little scythe.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gene Hackman. Now, I know this sounds ludicrous, but it genuinely works. I mean, it just does. I will never forget Hugh Bonneville and Gene Hackman's names ever again. And it's really handy if you want to chat about the French Connection, if you want to chat about Downton, etc.
So how are you adding Branagh in?
So Branagh, could he be branding Gene Hackman's ass? He could be.
It's your mindscape.
It's my mindscape. So if I'm talking about Poirot, mm-hmm. the recent Poirot films, all I have to do is remember Hugh Bonneville, he's eating the Bourneville, it's getting hacked away by Gene Hackman. Hackman's ass is being branded by Kenneth Branagh.
Right.
I mean, there might be a more simple way of doing it, but I very much doubt it.
Let's turn on the beam machine.
Please.
This week's topic, as sent in by Ian from Stone...
Thank you, Ian.
Don't know where Stone is.
No, I don't know where Stone is.
I've looked it up. It's a market town and civil parish in Staffordshire.
Oh, well.
And the topic that Ian has entered into the Bean Machine by going to enterthebeanmachine.boats.
Oh, yes. Good reminder.
Why is it called .boats again?
It was just a cheap domain name.
So who is it normally for people, for boats? Is it dot boats? Who normally uses it?
Good question. I don't know if I've ever come across another dot boats website.
No.
To be any website that's to do with seaworthy vessels in the plural.
Well, I think if they're seaworthy, they'd probably go for something more trustworthy, like .com, wouldn't they?
Boats.
I'm not going to buy a boat from anyone called boats.boats. It's not happening.
Come and explore the Arctic in a genuinely safe vessel and bring your family too at arcticfun.boats. No, might just visit the Chilterns this year.
Chilterns.com.
With Chilterns.hills.
I was just having a bit of fun, really, Henry, when I bought dot boats.
Ah, okay, lovely. Well, it's really lovely stuff.
It's a bit shonky, actually. If someone sends it to you as a link and you click on it, it doesn't open for some reason. But if you type it in, you have to manually type it in and it does work. I'm not sure the dot boats infrastructure is that great.
One of the great regrets I have to do with the internet is that things called .gov is actually spelled .gov. It's so annoying, isn't it? There's no way around it.
Why is that a regret?
You're not responsible for that, though, are you?
Of course. No, you're right. Yeah, I wasn't responsible for that. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't control the web and haven't always controlled it, no. And I have sometimes been seen in the same room as Sir Timothy Berners-Lee and probably at the same time. And it's a coincidence that during the Olympics opening ceremony, I happen to also be heading towards the Olympics with blueprints for appearing out of a large box.
And Mike Oldfield.
With Mike Oldfield.
Did Tim Berners-Lee come out of a box at the 2012 Olympics?
He came out of something. He was suddenly there.
But wasn't he just sort of standing there looking like a bit of a sort of spare part in the middle of the percussion section or something?
Wasn't he behind a computer tapping away?
I think he was trying
to Google how to get to the Olympic ceremony. He didn't realise he was actually there. It was a bit of a weird moment because it was like the world of things representing things changed because suddenly you had Sir Timothy Berners-Lee playing Sir Timothy Berners-Lee.
Mm. Yeah, whereas Branagh was playing Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
So was he? Was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that.
And Jason Statham was playing Her Majesty.
He was playing the Clifton Suspension Bridge.
Yeah. And actually, the director said, to be honest, if anything, mate, you're actually a little bit more stiff than the actual bridge. What? Yeah. The bridge has actually got a bit more heart than the performance you're giving, Jason. Yeah.
Just slagging off Jason, are we?
Who did play the Queen?
The Queen.
The Queen.
All stand for the King! We're entering the Regal Zone. Regal Zone. Off with their heads! On with the show!
Listen not to the knaves and the shopkeepers!
Bring me more advisors.
The Regal Zone. Regal
Zone. No, she didn't. She jumped out of an aeroplane.
She jumped out of a helicopter, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, well, she dropped out of a helicopter. I think it's very important if you're parachuting out of a helicopter not to jump. That's rule number one. So you don't spray the stadium with a minced Queen.
Something which Uncle Wozniak learnt the hard way, isn't it?
Inventor of the helicopter diving board. Yes,
that's right, yeah.
Oh, look, to celebrate the Olympics, they've done a bolognese rain.
To represent Britain's thriving Italian restaurant scene.
Please, nobody eat the bolognese rain. If you are covered in a spattering of bolognese rain, please do take the bolognese rain chunks to Westminster Abbey to get dirt. Thank you. We realise that this is a very difficult time for all of you. It's been extremely traumatic, but we are legally bound to tell you that you can still have a free limoncello. Sebastian Coe will be coming round with the limoncello bottle and shot glasses. But please, if your spouse refuses it, you are not allowed the second one. It's just one limoncello per person, please. I'm looking at you, Duncan Goodhue.
Right.
Well, I'm actually going to get myself in your head, but...
Wow, Henry did a ball joking.
Which he's allowed to do, of course.
I'm allowed to do, Ben, as it happens.
Have you no loyalty to your bald kin?
Don't worry. But, well, I'll sort it out with Duncan on the WhatsApp group later on.
Okay, so this week's topic, as sent in by Ian from Stone, is...
Yes, thank you, Ian.
Stonehenge.
Is it really?
Hang on, is that a self pun?
I mean,
what's going on with Ian?
I think we understand Ian's thought process.
Where does he get his ideas? Well, thanks, Ian from Stone. Is Stone anywhere near Stonehenge?
No, it's in Staffordshire.
Staffordshire,
so not really.
Okay. And Stonehenge, of course, is in...
Wiltshire?
Wiltshire.
Yeah.
Wiltshire. Stonehenge is exactly as the crow flies, halfway between where you are, Henry, and where I am now.
Really?
Yeah.
It's equidistant.
It is, yeah.
And that is the power of this podcast.
Yes.
And that's why...
And maybe that means we're on a ley line.
We might be on a ley line.
But they're demolishing Stonehenge, aren't they? They've just announced finally the Tories have got their way, and they're gonna demolish it and turn it into a bypass, build another lane on the A303.
Is that what they're gonna do finally?
They're gonna finally do it. A massive tunnel underneath it, I think. Actually.
Oh, they are doing it, are they?
Yeah, it's literally in the news yesterday. I think it was greenlit and then redlit and then greenlit again. And there was an encampment of protesters very nearby, like they were holding up the works a bit, and they've disappeared. Because I drive past that all the time when I yo-yo between hither and thither, twixt Exeter and London.
Right.
And they've cleared them out, but I felt a bit worried about them the other day. I wondered where they've gone, why they've gone, and were there sinister forces at work.
But hadn't Stonehenge just sent them back up into space?
Oh, maybe. I hope so. That'd be nice.
Using its cosmic power.
Yeah, the Henge rapture.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Cynic. Maybe there's more to this world than exists in Benjamin spreadsheets. Yeah.
Who is being cynical?
I think Henry Ward just wasn't really listening. He wasn't really listening and then went on the attack. Sort of thing that happens with kind of like rescue dogs and stuff. Yeah. They read the wrong signals. Yeah,
poorly treated XL bullies and me.
Yeah. I think that means that you have to be taken away now and destroyed, Henry. I'm dreadfully sorry.
And I didn't even have the humanely clause, actually. Unfortunately, we never got around to sorting out the humanely clause, so you can literally destroy me how you want.
Yeah, just elbow you into a canal.
It's bolognese rain time, isn't it?
It's bolognese rain.
Yeah, they might see if they can do bolognese fog.
No, because you were implying that, maybe, but, you know... Stonehenge just shot them up to space, as if assuming it can't actually do that.
I was saying it can do that. I was being the opposite of what you're saying.
You weren't being sarcastic.
Well.
Hey. No. Ooh. Now, for me, Stonehenge is one of those monuments where we're going to have to, you know, be steely-eyed about this. I'm going full beam.
Okay.
I'm going full beam on Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Certain journalists, you know, some of your journalistic sources will just shine a mag light at something and say it's the truth. Oh, but actually you've only seen a little bit of it. I'll go full beam.
Okay.
Yeah. Other road users might not like that because they can't deal with full beam because I've forgotten to dip my lights going around the corner. Yeah. Full beam.
And what are you seeing in your full beam?
Well, full beam on Stonehenge is, it's not made the seven wonders of the world. Let's just start with that. Has it?
Well, has it?
I don't think so, mate.
What about modern wonders?
It's definitely not a modern wonder. I mean, with the new bypass that goes through it, we'll have a chance.
So what are the wonders of the world? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Yeah. Colossus of Rhodes.
The pyramids at Giza.
Yeah.
Is it the big IKEA in Brent Cross?
Yeah. It's just because of the sheer size of the vats of meatballs that they have in the cafeteria there. It is Babylonian in scale. So the seven wonders of the world, pyramids. The statue of Zeus at Olympia. Is Olympia even still?
There we go. There is a hill that they say is Olympia, isn't there? Sort of tabletop mountain type thing.
Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. The mausoleum at Halicarnassus.
This is coming out of the top of your head, is it, Henry?
It's all the top of my head. Lighthouse of Alexandria. So it's not... What is its status as a world sort of heritage monument?
It's up there.
Would you cross the world to see it? Bearing in mind, most British people on most days drive past it and choose not to stop.
Well, no, they choose to nearly stop. That's part of the problem is because the traffic grinds to a halt.
As people slow down a bit. Not enough to visit the visitor centre.
Yeah, it's a UNESCO heritage site, so they will slow down a bit for it.
Yeah.
So I've lived within an hour and a half's drive of it all my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never been, never seen it. Never have my eyes laid upon the stones.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an opposite of a restraining order, isn't it, you've got, which is you have to live within 1.5 miles circumference of Stonehenge. You have to.
I'm spiritually tethered to it, and on the summer solstice, the sun shines out of my ass.
And it's just the rest of the year you think it does.
Well, I possibly have something which is worse, that I have driven past it, I would say probably 14,000 times, but I have never diverted to the little car park nearby and actually stopped and wandered around it.
Probably no one has driven past it as much as you, Mike, isn't it? Have they? Because that is absolutely your commuter sort of path.
Yeah, very much so.
So you've literally, you've never stopped?
I've never ever gone down to the...
No.
Because I don't know why.
You can see it from the side of the road and it's sort of like... Yeah,
I know that if I was to do it, I would be doing it to tick a box. And it might be magical and mystical and wonderful. Perhaps I'd have some kind of spiritual epiphany. I've no idea.
Maybe you'd have a spiritual epiphany seeing the A303 from that vantage.
Oh. Now you're talking. Okay, now you're speaking my language, Ben. Okay, I'm in.
They should call it the A303 Visitor Centre with added henge.
There we go. That's how you draw them in.
Because the thing is, every American who comes to British shores goes to Stonehenge.
Do they?
Yeah.
So really? Is it a proper big deal?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
There are always people there, come rain or shine. There are always people milling around, wandering around it.
But I don't think any British people go to Stonehenge, unless you're kind of into the slightly more mystical side. Some people are into that.
Proper sort of pagan.
Yeah, Druidic, pagan-y stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hobbit bullshit.
Oh, we're going to get emails, Henry.
Potentially enormously offensive.
Yeah.
To the minority religious group.
Sorry.
Known as the pagans.
I retract that. Yeah.
Let's call it...
Mordor Gubbins. No. What is it? I don't think that, by the way. Pagan, isn't it? Paganism. Pagan. Pre-Costa.
Chuck an ism on it.
Paganism, isn't it?
Pre-Costaism.
It's pre-Costaism. It's pre-Costaism. It's it's harking back to a time when old white men with long white robes had access to...
large slabs of stone.
Yeah.
And they didn't mind who knew it.
Some of the stones, of course, are from... From Cambridge in Wales. People are quite proud of that for some reason.
I mean, can I say something?
Yeah.
When that is one of the first things to be said about, of interest of, about something, which is just where the stones are from, you haven't grabbed me. Do you know what I mean?
Even if it's an extraordinary distance.
No one goes to the pyramids and gives a shit where their stones are from. They just load them in a big triangle. It looks like a massive Toblerone. It's fucking amazing.
But aren't most people... awestruck by how impressive it was that they got those stones up there in the first place without a giant
Of the A... It's literally next to the A road.
Have you not heard of Norbert Dentressangle?
Chief Druid of 3000 BC.
Yeah, you think that's a normal non-Druid name, do you? Norbert Dentressangle, yeah. Of course he's a Druid.
But I don't think they know how they transported the stones. That's the mystery, isn't it?
There are things that aren't known. Does that necessarily mean they're a mystery? For example, I don't know...
You don't know what Kenneth Branagh's called.
I don't know what Kenneth Branagh's called a lot of the time. Is that a mystery? I saw a dead rat the size of a small Labrador a couple of months ago. Is that a mystery?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a good one. Yeah, that's, well, bad example, why is that rat so big? How is it so big? Was it the king rat?
It could have been the king rat. In which case, I had a window there to become king rat myself, and I didn't take it.
All you had to do was eat its liver.
And make myself the mittens of power from its pelt.
And promise to give succor to its 4,000 wives and husbands.
Now, I think if you go there now, you can't touch them, can you?
No. Yeah, it's ringed off, I think. Yeah. And it's very controlled. There is a specific, like, car park visitor centre area, like, you know, walk around it clockwise and all that business, I think, is going on, from what I can tell.
So you drive there.
Yeah.
You get to the car park.
Yeah.
You've got to... It's sort of like the opposite of the siren song, isn't it? For people that drive past, it's this thing going, don't bother stopping. No, don't.
Maybe don't. Slow down a bit at most.
Slow down a bit, but just don't bother pulling
in. Bark at your children that it's there and on the right. If they turn right, now it's now. It's now. Get off your phones and look at the place. 5,000 years old, for God's sake. Just look at the bloody thing.
When you go in, at what point, because obviously it's a story, isn't it? Right? And any story, you hold back as long as possible. Your firecracker moment.
Yeah. Henry knows. I mean, the anecdotes Henry's told over the years on this podcast. So many firecracker moments we all fondly remember.
You've been asked to put together a compendium of your anecdotes in print, haven't you? And the title is Firecracker, I seem to remember.
Firecracker.
With Full Beam, Henry Packer.
Published by Full Beam. Full Beam is a subsidiary of Alfuckers. Yeah, so at what point do they tell you the absolute dynamite fact that the stone is from Pembrokeshire? Because that's the killer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell them that? Because it's, you have to park, you have to go around clockwise, you can't touch the stone.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think they tell you like halfway through, or maybe an actor is playing a druid,
I think,
tells
they probably
you?
Have someone there whose job is to gauge at what point disappointment is setting in on the person's face.
And then you can boost them with the Pembrokeshire stones fact.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, they are counseled to start it with the phrase, did you know, so that everyone can say, yes, I did know that already.
Yes, I did.
Everyone knows that.
I think they used to have it with, there's an actor, so you'd have someone playing a druid stabbing a virgin, and as the virgin gargled her death throw, last words would be,
this probably didn't really happen, really.
Would be that. Yeah, exactly.
This probably didn't actually happen. There's actually a lot of evidence now this didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how they can tell or they can't tell, but that's the general consensus at the moment.
But the stone that I'm lying on was from Pembrokeshire, almost certainly.
I only did this to get my Duke of Edinburgh Bronze Award. Really hoping to get into a Red Brick University. That's the thing. I'm only doing this because I can't get any other work anymore now because I'm Liz Truss.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
30% of cheese comes from Europe or something.
The thing with Stonehenge, right? It's one of those things where it's impressive, bearing in mind the limitations of when it was created at the time. So once you bear all that in mind, so you have to load up the viewer with a lot of information about how difficult it was to get things from Pembrokeshire.
Well, and if you're comparing it with, like, say, the inner workings of a toaster, actually.
Exactly. Which is really impressive.
Certainly a dual-lit one. You know, one of the really posh ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a dual-lit at the moment.
Have you? All right.
Yes. Hello.
Someone's doing all right.
But it's got one little problem. It doesn't stop toasting. It's an infinite toaster.
Even once you've taken the bread out.
You've been really badly upsold there, Henry, haven't you? John Lewis has seen you coming a bloody mile off.
This will be coming a mile
off. And just for another £4,000, we can give you, we can upgrade you to the infinite toaster.
Infinite toaster model.
It's like a hot, fist-sized chunk of uranium in your flat at all times.
Basically, someone, the guy who worked in the toaster department at John Lewis had done a deal with the devil about 15 years ago, and he thought he would never get this toaster off his hands, but he's managed it with me. I finally got that cursed toaster off my hands! Yeah.
He can finally have his vengeance upon bread.
No, so I have to unplug it to turn it off. It just keeps toasting, baby.
I used to live in a house where one of the people I shared the house with worked on, I think it was Saturday Kitchen, one of those like morning-y chef programs.
Yeah.
And at the end of one series of it, she brought home the toaster from the set and it became our toaster.
Wow.
So we had a famous BBC One Saturday morning primetime toaster that had been used by the likes of Carol Decker from T'Pau and other celebrities.
Wow. The DNA profile on that toast depressor.
You could probably... We can create our own Greg Wallace. We don't need the actual one anymore.
You've got it all, Ben. You could recreate...
Greg Wallace, but with the singing pipes of Topal.
You could recreate all kinds of people. You could recreate Hugh Bonneville, Kenneth Branagh, Gene Hackman.
He did it, but did he get them the right way round?
No, I did not get them the wrong way round. I've got Branagh in the hacking position. That makes no sense.
Of course, it'll be an awkward moment in if it ever went to court. Could it go to court this issue, this case?
What if you fashion a new Greg Wallace from DNA material? I reckon.
Can Greg Wallace sue himself in that?
I reckon they'd be happy to take that on and establish a precedent. Sure.
Yeah. Be a bit awkward though, wouldn't it? At the moment when the expert has to say, although of course it's slightly strange, isn't it, that the DNA you retrieved from the inside of this toaster was Greg Wallace's penis DNA. And both Greg Wallaces would have to sidle out of the courtroom awkwardly.
Stonehenge.
It's a mystery, isn't it, as to what it was for?
Well, that's the big question, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a clock or something?
I tell you what, putting the clock back an hour would have been an absolute massive pain in the arse, wouldn't it? And that's the end of today's podcast. Got to shift all the stones back by an hour. Oh, bloody hell.
Okay, time to read your emails.
When you send an email, you must give thanks to the postmasters that came before.
Good morning, postmaster. Anything for me?
Just some old shit.
When you send an email, this represents progress. Like a robot shoeing a horse.
Give me your health.
My beautiful horse.
Thank you to everyone who's emailed threebeansaladpod@gmail.com. Nick did so and writes, Dear Beans, I thought I'd share this awkward encounter with you. I went to the pub to see some friends. One of them had lost a lot of weight and was looking fairly hench. I complimented him and he replied, Thanks. I've been on a bit of a beefcake journey. Other people in the situation may have gone in with a furtive pompadour and hoped for the best. Not me, though. I went full in with, the path to beauty is prolapsed hemorrhoids. Needless to say, it was a completely coincidental use of beefcake journey, and none of them are fellow bean enthusiasts, and I have a new nickname. All the best, Nick.
Oh, Nick. What's his nickname? Prolapsed hemorrhoids?
I don't know.
Sounds like it.
I would assume yes.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Sorry, Nick. It's a cautionary tale, isn't it?
It is a cautionary tale. I've got some good news, by the way, in terms of the big beefcake journey, if you want an update.
Yes, please.
Play the jingle.
Oh, 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 yeah. Come on, mate. Yes. Ah, I'm in agony and I absolutely love this. Ah, more pain.
Crunch it. Push it. Flex it.
More pain.
Smash it. Sprain it.
Way.
The path to beauty is prolapsed hemorrhoids.
Ah.
Henry's Beefcake Journey.
And I'm going to say play the jingle for the last time because...
You're dying tomorrow.
The beef is spoiling?
No. It's great news.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done it. I've completed the journey. So it's... Yeah. I've done it. Yeah. I've
You're just beefcake present now.
I've arrived at beefcake. I'm at the summit of a huge beef mountain. It's my own body. I'm looking down on the world. And I've completed the journey. So
you're a kind of beef henge.
I'm a one-man beef henge. And I've travelled all the way from Pembrokeshire today. What's that?
Did you find a shortcut? Or
no, not, I have actually yes, I've cancelled my gym membership.
I see.
I did it, guys.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. Now we're getting to it.
So I've arrived at the end of I've completed it. So yeah. Anyway, it's a good
the
news story.
Subscription is over.
It's a good news story. It's not one of those, because you hear about these sad, obviously journeys that never end. People constantly going, going to the gym forever, the journey, they didn't have the commitment to actually get off the bloody train. And you know what I mean? They just keep going on there. That's not a journey. That's a sentence. I mean, that's a death sentence. I don't know. That's a sort of prison sentence. I don't know. But anyway, I finished the journey. I had the wherewithal to do it. Got to my destination. Got off.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Next email's from Joe. Dear Beans, during your circus episode, I was interested to hear a listener tout their dad for acting work after said dad had appeared as Archimedes in Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Indeed.
Okay, I didn't really get any of that except for how on earth do all those words end up in the same sentence? There's stuff to do with dads, and then there's it all ends on.
You were very much there at the time, and pivotal to the conversation.
But it seems extraordinary because I've taken all the nouns out of that sentence, so I didn't hear the verbs.
Okay, so you got the backbone of it. You got just the verbs.
I've just got the nouns. I've got dads. There were two dads. And
you've just got
destiny.
The nouns.
Okay. All I've got is the nouns.
Okay, so you've just got the sort of the viscera, really.
I've just got the viscera.
Sack of viscera.
I'd be delighted to hear.
So noun only, it sounds like this, Mike, just to give you a sense of what Henry's hearing. Circus, listener, dad, work, dad, Archimedes, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Okay, fine. And that you were including proper nouns, I assume, yes, Henry?
Yes.
So you've got something to hold on to.
Yeah. Okay, have the proper nouns in there.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I heard, Ben. Mm. So basically, that's like I've gone to a snout-to-tail restaurant, I've got a plate of offal. And
you need to work out where the farm is. With no further clues.
But Ben, can you give me just the verbs now?
Okay. Oh, that's going to be hard. Was, here, tout, said, appeared.
So, a dad has been hanging around on the set of The Dial of Destiny, touting another dad. To people on their way in and out of the set. No, go on.
You need to build Archimedes into that somewhere as well. Don't forget.
and the whole thing.
I wouldn't save that to the end. I'd work him in early doors if I was you.
Let me do the sentence again, Henry, for you, but just saying the word Archimedes. Ready?
Okay.
Archimedes. He's starting
to
bring it together.
Been touting another dad around, trying to outside the set of the production of The Dial of Destiny, and the whole thing is part of a sinister government project known only as the Archimedes Project. Okay. Yeah, go on. So what is it?
Well, you remember, Henry, somebody emailed in to say we'd been talking about Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny and the character of Archimedes within it, and they emailed to say that their dad had played Archimedes in that movie.
That's right. I tell you what, it does. You listen to them all together, and it's clear as day. This is a much better system. Yeah.
And they also, you will remember, offered a Pompidou discount on their acting.
Oh, yeah. Okay, brilliant.
Services. So Joe writes, and maybe listen to all of the words in this sentence, mm-hmm. Henry.
Okay.
You see, I too have a dad who acts. Most notably, in recent years, he has secured occasional work as a double for Michael Keaton.
Wow. Blimey.
He's played Michael Keaton in bits of the movie that Michael Keaton can't be bothered to do several times. To speak to his credentials, wow. I once met the producer of Tim Burton's remake of Dumbo, who said, and I quote, "Everyone on set is talking about how much your dad looks like Michael Keaton."
But it's not a coincidence.
Well, it is a coincidence.
No, it's not. I mean, because they're all going, why can't the guy here looks exactly like Michael Keaton? No, he's there. That's why he's there. He's playing.
Anyway, Joe writes, with this in mind, I'd also like to make an offer to casting directors who happen to be Three Bean Salad listeners. If you'd like an actor who looks quite a bit like Michael Keaton from a distance, please do get in touch, and a Pompidou discount can be arranged.
So have to work that into the equity standard contract.
I only heard Keaton and arranged, I'm afraid, so I don't know why that's...
Yes, part of the problem is that you're not actually listening. Because we've been recording for a while now. You haven't had any snacks. We were just to your credit.
I'm hearing, but I'm not listening. So I'm only getting through what my brain wants. Stuff getting through at the moment. And all it wants was Keaton and arranged. It must be quite tough being an actor and looking like Michael Keaton, but you don't want Michael Keaton roles. But like, Because they'd always be looking at you going, well, we could get Michael Keaton who's for this, rather than this guy who looks like Michael Keaton. It's a tough one, isn't it? So, but on the other hand, he has managed to get those jobs playing Michael Keaton.
So yeah, we've now got on our books on the kind of three bean salad,
yeah,
Pompidou discount actor books
in the roster.
Yeah, yeah, a character who's very much able to play Archimedes.
Yeah,
and a Michael Keaton lookalike. So,
and if you say Pompidou to them, they'll offer their acting services at a discounted rate,
15% off.
Yeah,
bloody hell!
Considering you're already playing B side Keaton rates as it is.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a pretty good deal. It's
pretty good.
Sam emails. This makes reference to something that I think we talked about in a Patreon episode, which is that I've started eating seeds every morning.
That's right, yeah.
Which has helped my gut health no end.
Yeah.
I would still stand by it. Seeds, yeah, and nuts. It's the way to go.
That's right. And you now have the skeletal strength of a sparrow as well, don't you?
It could be crushed in the palm of a child's hand.
Yeah. Anyway, Sam has emailed and said, your seed-based breakfast idea has given me chronic diarrhea.
Just the idea, or has it been doing it? The idea disgusted him so much he had to run to the toilet.
Thought purgatives from Benjamin Partridge.
Well, you've got to, but when you think about it, birds have constant diarrhea, don't they? You never get a solid curled out stool landing on your head. Landing on your head, do you? You get diarrhea. So, makes sense. Eat like a bird, shit like a bird.
Finally, Melvin Patrick from Cardiff. On the topic of politicians that we have seen unclothed, after somebody emailed in to say they'd been in a sauna with Andy Burnham.
Yes.
Anyway, Patrick emails and says, I once got changed next to the former leader of the opposition, Ed Miliband, at the Hampstead Men's Swimming Pond.
Nice.
He's incredibly ripped.
Is he really?
So, Ed or what's the other one called?
David.
I need to get them on.
Uh-oh.
I need to get them.
That's going to be quite hard if there's two of them. Especially because you mostly seem to eschew first names. You go straight to the surname.
I do eschew first names. Which is the one that ate the bacon sandwich?
Ed
Miliband.
So he's the one that's ripped?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Wow.
We've also had an email from James saying, dear Beans, a friend of mine once spent time with Kofi Annan in a hot tub.
Well, that is premium stuff, that is.
The friend worked for some sort of nefarious multinational and the bathing took place at a COP climate change summit. I appreciate this all feels a bit on the nose satire-wise, but there we go. James.
It's time to pay the ferryman. Patreon.com/3beansalad.
Okay, thank you to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
In recent times, me and Henry have recorded a few film-related podcasts called Film Corner.
Yeah.
Yes, which I've not turned up to either of these.
No, you've been busy.
I've been invited, but...
Exclusives.
I've been diary issues.
Feigned a busy diary.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to get access to bonus episodes, Henry talking about films and various other things.
The whole Film Corner back catalogue is there, isn't it, at the moment?
Three episodes.
Is it three?
We've talked about, which films have we talked about? We've talked about The Heron and the Boy.
The Boy and the Heron. You couldn't call it The Heron and the Boy, Ben. By the time you've got a heron, who cares about a boy? Do you know what I mean? It's the boy and the heron. You've got to save the...
Okay.
Save the best last, yeah.
Jason Statham's The Beekeeper.
That's right.
Great movie. And Paul Giamatti's The Holdovers.
But there is, if you're not into that, there is heaps of other stuff, isn't there?
There's loads of three bean content.
Yeah. There is.
Isn't there?
So check out patreon.com/3beansalad. Thanks for those of you who've done that already. If you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout out from Mike from the Sean Bean Lounge where Mike was last night.
Oh, yeah. You bet I was.
It was pretty raucous, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a big one.
It was the old throw a hole punch as far as you can competition.
It certainly was. Thank you, Ben. And here's my report. It was the old throw a hole punch as far as you can competition last night at the Sean Bean Lounge, which started in the traditional manner with John Pitt Yardley luzzing a German four-hole through the reinforced glass of Sean Bean's private intra-lounge Ryman's.
Simon T.W. was used to clear the remaining shards of glass at the window edges, and the ritual hole-punch pre-looting was afoot. Amanda Gawley set an early strong benchmark by hurling a portable three-holer the length of 24.5 Lee Wolfendens. Laura Crossley pointed out that measuring half a Lee Wolfenden hadn't really required his hemi-section by Jamie Lang, and proceedings were paused so that Lee Wolfenden's top half could be stuffed and mounted on a balustrade by Hannah Wiles, and his lower half turned into an umbrella stand by Jim Kay. There followed a spat about what units to measure the hole puncher tosses in now, which only cooled off when Erica Carpenter had a lightning-in-a-bottle moment and created a new system in honour of the occasion, namely the bean scale, in which the length of one bean unit is precisely the distance the average kidney bean would move in a decent gust of wind on a theoretically frictionless surface. Scores as follows. P. Alexander, long reach single hole, 38 bean units. Colin Cooper, heavy duty two hole, 12 bean units. Jess and Joe, eyelet punch press, 1,742 bean units. Russell Zwicker, ovine holing pincer, 27 bean units. Dave Silker, electric three-holer, 0.5 bean units. Dan Mould, Claire's accessories in association with Ryman's patented multi-teenager all-at-once or one-at-a-time earlobe hole puncher with gyroscopic steadying function for use on the top floor of a moving double-decker bus, 3 bean units. Alex Jarvis, 80s-style British Rail ticket puncher, minus 48 bean units. Andy Coxon's discus-style toss of a spiral punch comb binder went wide of the course and obliterated Chris V and Fred Holden's game of Rummy Cub to the death, which they refused to restart until someone reminded them what they were arguing about in the first place. Thomas Owen suggested it was about the name of the bassist from Def Leppard, while Chris Draper thought it was about whether or not a human being touching a baby bird would lead it to being abandoned by its mother. While that was going on, Neil Gregson claimed to have thrown a quadro punch with Chad Collector a record-breaking 6.5 kilo bean units, but no one saw it, but he promises it was true. Thanks all.
Okay, that's the end of the show. We'll just finish off with a version of our theme tune sent in by one of you lot. Okay, so this is from Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
Dear Beans, it may be due to my being a professional bass player that I am particularly sensitive to this almost sarcastically close to undetectable detail, but I feel compelled to offer my version of your theme tune on the following grounds. All of the listener submissions played thus far, even the most otherwise virtuosic, stray from the genius of the original in one crucial way. The harmony moves from chords 4 and 5, respectively, following the triads of the melody. This would be all well and good were it not for the fact that the bass line of the original clearly implies chord 1 throughout. This transgression in my mind robs the theme of the subtle tension and release that sets it squarely among the great compositional achievements of the last 100 years. Wow. And anyone who claims that's hyperbole can help themselves to a side salad of fuck you.
You talk about that central premise of your jingle all the time, don't you, Ben? It's very much the basis. That's where you start with the starting idea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That central tension.
Can I say, finally, you know when you've had a thought you haven't quite had the words for it, but I've had exactly that feeling about the theme tune, yeah.
He writes, lest the listener may be struggling to conceptualise this difference, I attach a version that demonstrates it by paying homage to the hair metal masterpiece that utilised the same harmonic approach, albeit in a rather more heavy-handed way. Thanks to my friends Tommy on guitar and Doug on drums for helping me honour the great Bean Maestro. Pedantically yours, Nick from Bremen.
Brilliant. Yes, please.
Thanks, Nick.
Here we go.
That was a breath of fresh air, that email.
Ooh. Van Halen style. Nice.
was spectacular.
Absolutely incredible.
And so begins a long legal battle with the estate of Eddie Van Halen for who owns the the compositional rights in that particular piece of music.
Oh, it's Van Halen, isn't it? Jump.
Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's say it's 10% Van Halen's Jump, 90% Freebean Salad theme.
Yeah, I'll support you all the way. Beautiful work. Love that. Thank you.
Love it. Brilliant. Thank you.